From the darkness of a resting place, your vision reveals a by now familiar sight. The canopy of a four-poster bed overhead. Deep blue hangings. Moonlight filtering in. The inn in a misty town, where a mysterious woman stopped by to visit, and left just as quickly. You seem to have slept the day away, and it gets dark early here. The sound of a bell from downstairs, a distant jangling peal. Supper time. You've left one of the balcony doors just a bit open. The curtains are wide open, though. No sign of the woman from the other night. Might as well go down and have something to eat, then. You leave the chest at the foot of the bed unlocked, your possessions inside. You're only going downstairs for a little bit. You might go out later and see the village. Apparently, there's a more modern city just over a nearby ridge, and this anachronistic village is a tourist trap. A good place to visit for a while, at least. Down the cozy staircase, a main hall, lit and heated. The scent of savory cooking is again plainly evident, just as it was on the late night when you arrived for the first time. At the base of the stairs is the little desk where that older woman keeps the keys to the currently unoccupied rooms. You see her in the dining room beyond, though, setting places at a table. It's early enough that your appetite is minimal. Still, it will surely grow while you wait for the food. Except there isn't really long to wait. There are a few other guests, notably a couple who are staying on the second floor, he strong and dark-haired, she blonde and smiling. The proprietress's old husband, with calloused hands and a placid expression, prepares chairs and sets out napkins. He seems to take a great time straightening each place setting, positioning the napkins, taking time to make sure it all looks good. When you walk inside the room, the stooped man pulls a chair out for you. The chairs have cute embroidered cushions and sturdy wooden backs. When you sit, it is surprisingly comfortable. You can see there's a counter between the kitchen and the dining room, an island over which completed food can be passed without the person making it having to walk all the way around. Plates are already appearing on it, the deft matriarch's hands producing simple and tasty-looking platters. Smoked meats, sausages, a huge tureen of soup, all moved on to the table. Salad, with garlic croutons, fresh bread, cream and coffee. You notice green flecks in the sliced bread and ask. Turns out it's garlic bread. The butter, garlic butter as well. The sausages, in peppers and garlic. The entire meal seems to have some, in fact. The older woman looks proud as she comes over and takes her seat. Now, it isn't that you're superstitious exactly. And who knows, your nocturnal visitor might not mind this stuff. But the way the woman at the table is watching you, waiting for you to take your first bite, is worrisome and a little invasive. Isn't it your decision who you want to visit? Plus, you were sort of hoping for a kiss from the lady in the red dress, if she shows up. Garlic's a bad idea, however you slice it. You ask if anything omits garlic, hinting at an intolerance for the spice. You begin spreading your napkin on your lap. Oddly, it seems a little powdery. Maybe someone spilled salt on it. You wipe your hands on a clear portion of it. The guests from the second floor are too caught up in one another to notice, but both the proprietress and her husband look a little uncomfortable with your request for a meal without that particular seasoning. Ah, well. You decide. Yep, you've made up your mind. Removing the napkin from your lap. Folding it neatly on your plate. Watching the way it falls white and square there. Once more, that powdery grain gets on your hands, but you wipe them clear and they seem fine. You explain that you'll get your food in the modern village over the hill. No harm done. But you ask politely that they omit the garlic from your meal in future nights. Stepping out of the dining room with a polite bow, you decide to go get your things together and head across the ridge to find a fast food place or a sit-down cafe. Up the winding stairs. They must know more than they're letting on if they're trying to use garlic to drive off their house guest above. Still, your visitor seemed unable to enter your room without an invitation, so you hold the upper hand. When you reach the topmost landing and push the door inward, you see that the balcony doors are now completely open. Yep, she's there. Tonight, she's wearing a fuzzy brown turtleneck, long denim pants, and those same running shoes from before. Her glasses are the same, too, obscuring her eyes. She has a beret on, bright red, tilted jauntily to one side. Same purse as yesterday, a little denim number with pockets all over it, so short on its strap that it hangs very high on her body. And she's holding the luggage you brought with you, having apparently somehow extracted it from the chest at the foot of your bed. In fact, it's hovering in front of her, levitating as she goes through its contents with a slight smile. Oh, hey, welcome back. She waves. She notices your line of sight to the bag floating in front of her, just inside the balcony door. Oh, yeah, that. Just getting to know you better, right? The bag floats apologetically back into your room, down into the storage chest, which opens and accepts it. Figured you for that line of work, really. What she means, she does not clarify, because then she sniffs the air. Oh, no. Oh, man, did you eat that dreck? She tries it with every new person. Come on, if your stomach's full of the stuff, I'm gonna have to go. It gives me hives and my lips swell up. You assure her that you didn't eat anything. You were just in the same room with it. She sniffs the air. Well, I shouldn't be able to smell the cooking all the way up here. I never could before. Damn, the lengths she'll go to get me out of here. It's my house, too, you know. This is my room you're in. She looks a bit peeved, but not at you in particular. Just at the whole situation. Okay. She probably booby-trapped something with powdered garlic so you'd get it on you. You'll just have to wash up before you touch any of my stuff. You ask where she got the new outfit from, if this was her room. Levitated it out of my stash while you were downstairs, but I've got clothes at my other place, too. One of these tattoos lets me do that much. She pulls up the sleeve of her sweater, showing the blue, patterned tattoos you saw the other night. Got a few powers in here. Changing into these clothes on the freezing balcony, that's the bit that wasn't fun. You look at her, nonplussed. Pointy, she explains. That didn't explain much, but you're left with one question. How is she going to make you do anything? After all, she can't seem to come into the room, and she certainly won't go closer to the garlic. She points up toward the sky. You figure she's indicating the moon overhead. What was waxing gibbous last night is properly full now. She rolls up the sleeves of her sweater fully, revealing pale arms and those swirling patterns once again, interlocking blue tattoos. One of the many strokes in the pattern has faded to gray, probably the one that let her rifle through your bags. They glow in the moonlight. She touches a particular strand in the spiraling design that goes all the way from wrist to shoulders. Then she grabs hold of the balcony railing and takes a deep, shuddering breath. A gasp, really. You see her as air floods lungs that needed no breath a moment before. You see her skin change, too, suddenly moving from its paleness to a lighter and lighter peach until a ruddy complexion appears. Freckles, too. all over her face and down her forearms, intermingled among the tattoos, which look quite strange on her now healthy arms. The one she touched fades to gray. She steps past the edge of the balcony, into your room, her skin vital and alive. Seen this close to you, she's really quite short. She sniffs the air, getting closer. It doesn't affect me now. Alive again for an hour or so. She grabs your wrist, the wrist of the same hand she kissed during her last visit, and she sniffs near it. Oh yeah, she got you with some. Go to the shower, I'll get changed. You consider refusing. After all, she's just human at this point. Oh, you're going to stay here and spy on a lady in the nude? She tosses her purse on your bed. She removes her glasses and reveals eyes no longer purple, no longer glowing, just a stunningly unusual red. The glare in them is fairly serious, though. You decide it's in your best interest to go get that shower water warm, turning away as she pulls the sweater up and over her head. You hear rustling behind you, and regret that you won't get a look. But, after all, it sounds like she plans to join you in there. This little inn does its best to have the old-world mystique and charm of a place normally edged out by urbanization. But you know that just over the ridge is a modern town, with lights and shops and apartment buildings, like any other. This place is in a bit of a valley, which means mist and not much light pollution above, and the illusion of a place from another time. The moon is clear here. The stars are bright. But there are little touches. The proprietress hides an iPad behind the front desk. The rooms have electrical outlets. The bathrooms, well, it's the same as anywhere people do historical recreation or theme park kind of stuff. People may be willing to eat old-fashioned food, but when you go into the bathrooms, you want modern fixtures, a good sink, a toilet, a hot shower, and a bath. Well, your room has these, indeed. This luxury suite, which takes up a whole floor with a great view of the old town, has a gorgeous and spacious shower in one corner of its large bathroom, and a tub at the other side, circular, massive. You pull off your clothes, then, throwing them in the laundry basket. You know if you put the bag outside your door, the proprietress will launder it later for free and promptly. You assume she isn't bold enough to use garlic powder in place of the laundry soap, so you should be all right. You adjust the shower flow and let it get hot. Steam begins to fill the room. The large mirror opposite the door, which runs the entirety of that wall, begins to fog above a pair of sinks. The whole place is quite nice. Good thing the inn's owner doesn't turn down or clean in this room unless you ask her to. That's okay, given today's stunt. Who knows what she might do to run off your charming guest. Seems you're in the middle of a family feud with a few supernatural tendencies. Unlucky you. Coming in, you hear the slap of a bare foot on the tiles. Okay, maybe you're not so unlucky. You step beneath the shower spray, hot water cascading down your shoulders, dripping onto the clean tiles below. You spend time scrubbing, seeming to not even look at your guest, although you're trying to catch glimpse of her in the fogging mirror. You feel her presence step in behind you. You don't turn. Play it cool. Play it cool. Heh. That chuckle as if she's in on some private joke. You feel nimble hands slap your shoulders gently from behind. There's a sigh from her. An earnest ah of pleasure. Can't shower except when I use that charm. Something about running water pushes me away, like the same pole of a magnet. She reaches up and interrupts the shower's flow, causing water to fall over her shorter form where she stands behind you. Look, you need to wash your hands first, or you're just going to keep getting it on everything. She gets some soap from a little pump mounted on the shower wall. She reaches around, grasps your wrists. She doesn't seem to need to see, You were scrubbing your chest, but now she uses her hands to rub both of yours together and soap them up. Then she presses her body against your back to get a better angle. This is what you were looking forward to. You feel them, her breasts, perfect and firm, very large on her frame, pressing against your back through the fabric. Wait, fabric? You turn in place then to face her, which is good because she keeps hold of your hands, directing the falling spray over them and rinsing away the offending substance. All better. Hello there. She's cheerful and she's clothed. A one-piece swimsuit in sleek black. Quite conservative, really. Presumably she retrieved it from beneath the floorboards. Her freckled arms and their exquisite pattern of blue spiraling tattoos, like ribbons wrapped intricately over smooth skin, exposed. Her legs are a bit muscled. The running shoes explain that. The outfit hugs her, revealing a medium build. Her breasts push the suit out enough to generate some cleavage for your viewing pleasure. And the nipples are indeed pointy through the fabric. She raises her hands to play with her hair. She gets the water through it. This takes only a moment and leaves the pixie cut in wildly spiked disarray. She grabs shampoo and begins lathering up. Did you expect me to join a stranger, naked, in the shower? Who knows what you might do? It is not lost on you that she has at least four distinct blue ribbons on each arm that are not grayed out, and you have no idea what she could do to you if she wanted to. When you point this out, she laughs. Look, you own the room until you check out. That means I can't go in, even if you invite me. I need a new invite every day unless I use this charm. If I hurt you and you go to a hospital, you keep ownership of the room until someone new checks in. This is my home. Here, turn and I'll do your back. Turn. You find yourself doing so. Those red eyes aren't hypnotically commanding, but your mind still remembers the soothing purple light of her when she had her powers. She lathers up your back and begins scrubbing it with a cloth. Her hands are very gentle. She pauses to rub your muscles now and then, in between merely cleaning your body. Then she swats at your buttocks playfully, leans down, begins rubbing your legs. Looks like you got a vacation just in time, tense all over. She continues talking. The water falling over her doesn't seem to obstruct her speech at all. Yeah, normally I need to take baths. I mean, I like a good bubble bath, who doesn't? But a shower's good, too, and so convenient. The tats recharge every night of the full moon, so I get four uses out of them in a month, and... She reaches down and taps your right foot. You lift it, and she scrubs the underside with a rough pumice brush from nearby. She rubs soap all over, continuing the washing process by sliding her hands up the front of your leg, and then up your body. She's actually isolating sore muscles as she goes, digging her fingers in and around them. It hurts briefly each time, but then the discomfort is replaced by a flower of blossoming relief every time. She knows what she's doing. Got a bunch of reanimation spells in there, like this one. Some telekinesis, some protection. She taps your other foot and scrubs the underside when you lift it, planting the first one. Then she slides her hands up between your legs. Hello there, she sing-songs, scrubbing briefly but moving up the front of you to soap your chest after that. She's now standing with her breasts against your back once again. I'm a massage therapist. I work at a little clinic over the ridge. Mom sends the tourists there sometimes, but she doesn't approve of me staying here forever. Set my own hours, you know. Pick up a few shifts at a cafe, too. Extra money and I can meet potential clients. The boss doesn't mind me networking. She digs her fingers into your lower back, finding a sore muscle. She pushes you forward so you brace your hands against the shower wall. The rubbing from her fingers is quite intense and insistent. When normal people give a massage, they tend to worry about hurting someone by pushing too firmly. But someone who knows the muscles of your body and what they're doing will naturally go right to the limit of comfort in order to make you feel better. And she is. Yeah, you should swing by for a massage sometime. We can do lunch after. That seems suspicious. You mentioned to her that she seems to be washing her food before making a date to eat it. Oh, hun. She digs her fingers in higher this time. You feel heat, your nerves sing an objection, then your entire back unclenches and relaxes. She helps you stand up straight. Fatigue, muscle strain, discomfort in your back from sitting badly, all are gone. Your whole body feels liberated, renewed, happier overall. Your brain singing its pleasure at you being a little better after her ministrations. Still, she's done with the mini massage, and she presses her breasts against you through the outfit again. You can't help but feel some arousal at that, and she just holds you as the hot water begins to filter down to lukewarm, the tank running out a bit. No offense, but at my stage of the game, I only need a tiny bit of blood every month. I eat a couple of rare steaks, and I'm good. You're cute, but you're not as tasty as even one really good rare steak. She swats your butt gently, then steps out of the shower and averts her eyes. It occurs to you that other than her brief playful touch, she was doing all of that by feel and while avoiding any unprofessional places. She didn't actually look at your body either, but she certainly touched everywhere at least for a second. You look at her in the swimsuit. She shakes like a dog, her hair adopting a wild high rooster comb look as water spatters against the mirror and onto the tiles. She looks in that mirror, leaning toward it. She touches the mirror and wipes her hand across it, removing the steady condensation. A gaze in the mirror. She seems pleased to see her own expression. She sculpts her errant hair with her fingers until it adopts the swept to one side shape it usually had. She grabs a towel, quickly brushes off her body with it, then steps into the main room, calling back as she departs. Get dressed and join me for a drink. If you're quick, maybe she'll let you watch her change. The drink part is worrying, but she's supposed to be human for quite a while yet. It seems unlikely she could bite you. You grab a towel and dry off. You don't want to track water on the nice wood floors. Your hands are definitely clean of garlic now. You'll have to be more careful. When you step into the main room, you see the wet bathing suit folded on top of the towel, sitting on the little table near the balcony. So that means she's already wearing something. Yep, there she is. A long, flowing hybrid between a sweater and a dress. Brown, like the one she was wearing before, but much longer. And a pair of emerald green stockings below it. She has better shoes now. Comfortable flats instead of lace-up running shoes. There's a leather jacket over the back of a chair, retrieved from whatever hidey-hole she's hastily raided. She's rooting in the denim purse, seated on your bed. She pulls a metal flask from inside, one of the ones with a slight curve meant for a breast pocket, but that must be why she got the jacket. There's an engraving across the front of the metal. She holds it up to show you, and it catches the moonlight. A stylized heart with a pattern of flames around it. A drink, not from you, like I said, for you. Steak, yada yada. She produces two small metallic tumblers from that same purse. And then she stands up. The purse goes over her shoulder, the leather jacket tucked under one arm. She steps onto the balcony and gestures you over. You take a moment to grab a house coat hanging next to the bathroom door, throw it across your shoulders, tie it closed. There's a small garden-style table and two metal chairs outside on the balcony deck. When you walk after her, pulled in her wake, you observe her form and how the outfit doesn't hide her curves at all. It accentuates them instead. Curves you've now gotten an even more intimate look at. The spell lasts an hour, or until I have a decent belt of whiskey. Last drink kind of thing. It refunds me some time if I end it early. She places the two metal tumblers on the little table. And if the spell ends while I'm in someone else's house, it pushes me outside, possibly doing some harm on the way. You watch her pour the amber fluid into both little containers. She seals the flask and drops it back in her purse. Every check, I pick up a little bottle of decent stuff and fill this. Who knows when my last drink will really be my last, right? Anyway, come here. You walk toward her. Your own tumbler is left on the table. She grasps the hand she kissed on the first night, and which she washed tonight. Holding you by the wrist, she guides your palm to her chest, and then presses it between her breasts through the sweater, slightly to the left on her body. You feel the slow, calm beating of a heart within. Throb, throb, throb. Yes. See? She raises her cup to her lips. A rueful smile. The metal touches. She pauses. Slantava. Then she knocks it back. You see the flush fade from her face as her throat moves. Liquid flows down. She lets out a long breath between clenched teeth. Not the mere bite of whiskey, but something longer from deeper within. One of her hands grasps the balcony railing, and you grip her sweater dress to keep her standing. She returns the cup to her purse as her skin grows paler. Her lips stay red. She squeezes her eyes shut, finds the little glasses in her purse. You see only a moment's flash of deep purple light. She brings the glasses up to her eyes, flicks them open using one hand to put them on and protect you from her mesmerizing glare. You feel the heartbeat slow beneath your hand, and eventually stop. Her body is stronger as she rises. When she stands fully, it is with pale hands and face once more light, the pixie cut seeming to move to and fro in an ethereal wind you cannot feel. She begins to levitate off the surface of the balcony, breaking contact with your hand, leaving the metal tumbler with your measure of liquor next to you on the table. She pulls up her sweater sleeve to show you the blue sigil is already refilling under the moonlight, growing gradually more colored in with every moment that passes. Drink it or don't, eh? But return that to me when you drop by some night. I left my card on your night table, eh? She floats backwards and down into the persistent mist in this place, winking right before she goes completely out of sight. You leave the drink where it is for the moment. You need to check something. You head inside to check for her card, still mystified by this nighttime vandal who comes in and disrupts your quiet vacation. I mean, very sexy, sure, but she's tiring in her own way, and you find your energy a bit depleted. A nap before you go out for late-night supper might be a good idea. Indeed, there is a small rectangle on your nightstand, that same heart with flames around it, as the emblem. And next to it, Timeless Health and Beauty, Spa and Massage Clinic. And then licensing information, an address nearby, and a telephone number. In this tourist town, even the vampires have gone legit. Well, that's awfully convenient. She must be sleeping at the clinic while you've taken her room. Feels a little rude when you think about it. But if you left, she'd be spending her nights with the next visitor, wouldn't she? You'll have to talk to her about why she doesn't just rent somewhere else. After all, she seems to do well enough for herself money-wise. The reddish mark from a few days ago, from when she first kissed the back of your hand, has already begun to fade. But the memory of the feel of her breasts against your back probably never will. Your hand against her warm chest, feeling her heart beat before it gradually cooled and stopped. Images arousing and unbidden, and a little sweet, and a little bitter. They invade as you lay back on the bed, feeling its luxurious encapsulation, its warmth, as you tuck the blankets around yourself. You make sure to slip the card into your pocket, and, clothes still on, your drink in its little metal tumbler out on the balcony. You let your eyes drift closed, already planning for the next time she visits, or More correctly, for the first time you'll visit her. You're going to have to make sure to plan something special, memorable, for your third date.